You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning. How are you today? All right, man. This is a rambunctious, rowdy crowd. It's good to see you guys. Hope you're well. Man, we had a great day on Thursday. I don't know if you were here, but man, there's a ton of people parking on our lot, and you know, we're not here. There's no agenda in doing that. It's just you know, they're gonna park on our lot whether we like it or not, right? So at least we try to be here to provide service and a touch, and thanks to you and your support, we are able to. Provide hot dogs and pop and nachos and all kinds of stuff for people, and it was just a great day, and it's good to just see people come and we have an opportunity to make a touch to the community, because on the 4th of July every year we do fireworks. There's the fireworks here, and right when we first moved in, the pastor across the street, Pastor Brian, said, "Hey man, I just want to tell you, 4th of July is a great opportunity for you guys because people come on your lot and watch the fireworks." And man, sure enough, it was a huge awakening to see all the people that come. And so now it's just an event. A lot of the same people come back every year. So anyways, thank you for being here. And those of you that served, countless of you were here, and you helped make those touches. And I think it's good to meet the community where they're at, right on? So thank you for that. So great deal. You know, today we're looking at this idea of the things that Jesus never said. And we're looking at this in a way because I think that there's the danger of this is that people, you know, kind of take things that Jesus said, just like they do, you know, with all of us, right? And they turn it and twist it, and we begin to believe things. Right, the things that Jesus never really said, and so we're looking at this today, and today it's really about you'll see, it's about forgiveness and how that works and what Jesus actually said about forgiveness. But how about this? How many of you know someone that's really annoying on Facebook? Raise your hand. Right now, many of you are not raising your hands, which leads me to believe that you may be the annoying one. I don't know. I'm just saying, okay? All right. Sorry about that. But all right. Okay, very good. That's great. Some of us don't do Facebook. That's more power to you. So anyways, with that said, how about this? You know, just some things that Jesus would never say, or that Jesus would never post, all right? How about this? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they post," right? It's kind of goofy. How about this? "If he shows up in church, I will strike him with lightning." You know, Jesus never would post that, right? It sounds kind of spoken. Troy, thank you for that. How about this? "Sorry, you've sinned too much, and some of the things that you've done, you are just unforgivable," right? Jesus would never post that, would he? Now, here's the truth. Some of us walk around believing that what we've done, Jesus would never forgive, right? It is true. It's very true. But the truth is that God is a God of grace and freedom and forgiveness. And thank you so much, Lord, for how he has forgiven me, right? And I'm sure you could say the same things. The idea of this series of messages, this is part one, right? The things that Jesus never said, sometimes to better understand what Jesus said, it's to understand what he did not say. Is that fair? So I want to share with you today that the idea of Jesus, you know, saying to us, "You do not need to forgive them," is something that Jesus would never, ever say. Jesus wants us to forgive. And that's what we're talking about here today. And that forgiveness is found only through him. So let me just say, when we leave town or go somewhere with the kids, I know my kids are the only ones. But man, when we get the luggage and everything in the car, they fight. And I know that your kids don't fight. Your kids are perfect, you know, in every way. But my kids, they fight. And they get in the car, and it's just ridiculous. And then, you know, Beth and I say ridiculous things, you know. Like, I don't know what it is with Beth, but she is like, I mean, she's incredible with coming up with consequences, like, on the spot, you know. I'm like, if you guys don't shut up, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, because the truth is they've got me. You know what I mean? There's nothing I can do, you know. But Beth, man, she could fire off stuff and just come up with, I mean, just some crazy, insane consequences, you know. And then they'll say something back to her and she'll say, okay, you've got to write 100 sentences, how much you love your mother or something crazy, you know. I mean, she just comes up, it's a teacher in her, I guess. She comes up with stuff. But it's crazy how things, you know, the bickering and sometimes that happens, you know, with the way our family dynamic works. God help us. We're trying. But I will say there is nothing that grieves me more than when my kids do not get along. I mean, I hate that. I want my kids to get along. Nothing makes me more pleased and happy when I see my kids getting along. When I see, you know, Tyne and Travi going fishing together and they're sharing their tackle and, you know, coming back with story. I like that. You know, I like it when that happens. I despise it when it doesn't happen, right? I think that's the same way it works with the Lord. God wants us to live and work in a way where we forgive one another, where we get along with each other. And anytime you talk about forgiving others, it can create lots of emotion, and rightly so. Many of us could say here, you don't know what someone did to me. And I don't. I don't know how that makes you feel or what you've been through, you know, and the impact that has made, you know, when your spouse cheats on you or when your best friend lies or someone that you've loved and admired lets you down in a big way. Or when they didn't pay you what was owed, or when you experienced broken promises and maybe even used you for their benefit. Or we can even take that into deeper levels of hurt that are experienced emotionally or spiritually or sexually. Scars that you even carry today. And you don't want to pass over. And today, this is not about passing over that pain, any pain that you've experienced. We're not minimizing how horrible or how unfair or how reprehensible or even how wrong it was. That's not what this is about. What this is about is understanding, first and foremost, that God loves us. And God wants to forgive us, and he wants to bring us to a place where we can find freedom in him. And many of us have not found freedom in him, the kind of freedom that he wants us to have, because we've been enslaved by what we would call an offense. Are you here with me today? So in Matthew chapter 6, 9 and 11, Jesus reaches this point in this sermon. They call it the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus reaches this point in this sermon, and all these people are around, and he stands up and he's giving this talk, kind of like what I'm doing today, except Jesus was giving this, and in giving this, he reaches this place where he says in Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. Check it out. This then is how you should pray. Now let me just clarify just for a second. Prayer is the key that unlocks a lot of doors. Are you here with me today? It is the key that can unlock a lot of doors. And in dealing with forgiveness, it can be found in prayer. And so Jesus begins to teach them how to pray. So let's look at it in the context. We're looking at the Jesus prayer or the Lord's prayer in the context of prayer or forgiveness. So here, let's look at it. He says this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." Now, I just want to pause just for a second, and I want to just say this, our Father. Can you say that with me? Our Father. Jesus is teaching them to pray, and there's many things that you can pull out of this prayer, many different talks that you can give. There's all kinds of different transitions and different ways that you can move through this, and many of you have heard message after message about the Jesus prayer. Today, look at the Jesus prayer in the context of forgiveness. Can you do that with me? Our Father. It's not my Father, right? It's our Father. Our Father in heaven. And seeing that, it is not just my Father, but it's also the Father of the one that has hurt me. Are you here today? Does that make sense? Our Father in heaven. And then he goes on, he says, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, here's the hope that we can have, is that the kingdom of God is not that just the here, life after death, right? The kingdom of God can be experienced in the here and the now. And in the here and the now, quite frankly, Jesus is praying that his kingdom would essentially descend upon his followers, that his kingdom would descend upon his people, that all of us, as we follow Christ, all of us have the opportunity to experience a piece of heaven. And the beautiful thing about heaven is there is no bitterness in heaven. There is no strife in heaven. There is no anxiousness. There is no worry. There's no fret. There's no grudge. And the Lord is saying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says, give us today our daily bread. Now, I don't know about y'all, but man, it is really hard to break bread and sit across the table from someone you just want to punch their lights out. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Right? I hate it when my boys fight at the table or when Beth and I are into it. It's not the way you break bread, right? The Lord says, give us today our daily bread, moving into this idea of breaking bread with one another. And then it goes on and it doesn't say, forgive us our debts, though we still hold grudges. That's not what it says. It doesn't say, I will forgive you, but you don't have to forgive others. It's not what it says. Here's what it says. And again, Jesus is praying that a piece of heaven would be experienced by all of us. And here's what he says. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. He's saying, Lord, forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for what we've done wrong as we also have forgiven those that have trespassed against us, those that have hurt us. Look at Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Jesus goes on and he's teaching and he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive who? You. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, man, that is really hard teaching. Jesus was just laying out the truth here. He was just laying out the truth because, and his purpose in all of this is so that we all can experience his kingdom. That's the truth. The benefit of his kingdom is abundant life. The benefit of his kingdom is walking in freedom and not being bound by our offender. And ultimately, the offender is not flesh and blood. The offender is the enemy. Look, the first time that I ever spoke on forgiveness, and I believe I'm not mistaken in saying that I went to Chris over this. This goes back 20-some years ago. Chris and I have been covenant brothers for a very long time. We've been friends for a very, very long time. We've walked through a whole lot together. And there was one particular lady at 20, before I was married, that 20, it goes back 25 years ago, 30 years ago, she hurt me. And she didn't know she hurt me, but she hurt me. And I can't get into the details of all of that. But I was about to give this message on forgiveness, and the Lord put this lady in my mind. And I could, Chris doesn't remember now, but I can guarantee you that he would remember if I told him who. And so I walked through this, and I prayerfully tried to figure out what to do because I knew I couldn't give the message with, and I knew I couldn't move forward. And it was like the Lord brought this to my attention. And what we end up doing, or what I ended up doing, was writing a letter and making basically amends in letting them know how I, you know, forgave them and that I was sorry for how I carried something against them. And I remember that. It was a God moment. And I believe that the Lord, even right now, okay, will help you in putting people in your mind or offenses in your mind of maybe a situation or someone that you need to forgive. As brutal as it is to endure a personal betrayal or abuse, isn't it sometimes harder to see someone you know or someone you love hurt? Your kids, your little brother or sister, your mom or your dad. And then there are things like the unforgivable. I know a lady that attended church here for years, and she's since passed away. Someone killed her son. And she had to live with that. And she had to come to terms where she forgave. I'm very close to someone who I call family. And I love her like a sister. And she was sexually abused for years. And her abuser pick her up and take her to school. How in the world do you forgive something that seems unforgivable? I don't think it's by mistake that in leading to these passages of Scripture on forgiveness that Jesus opened this up by teaching us how to pray. How to pray. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. He's not just my Father. Our Father. Our relationships with God's other children deeply matter to God. In Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24, here's what it says. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. I think it's interesting here that you're going to offer your gift. Many of you came here this morning and you came here to worship God. You came here to offer your gift. You came here to give to God, not just to receive. You came, by the way, we come to give, don't we, on Sunday morning? We come to give our gift. Your presence here is a gift of God. And you come, you give of your gift, you come and you're here and you're worshiping God, you're singing, you're listening to scripture, you're wanting to hear a message that will help you, you're wanting to see scripture and see God's word that can help you carve out your way and all of that. And in coming and offering your gift at the altar, which is essentially what we're doing here today, God help us to remember our brother and sister that has something against us, or that you have something against them. This says, leave your gift here in front of the, and first go be reconciled, then come back. And here's my point in all this, is that God wants us to remember. He wants us to tap into this. And as you're sitting here tonight, today, I believe that God is putting a situation or a person in your head that you need and so why does he do this? Is it some mean, cruel trick? Is it to make us hurt even more? Is it, why is God doing this? Why would God make us do this? Or why would God call, he didn't make us do anything. Why would God call us to do this? Here's what I believe. Your prison is the offense. Some of us are in bondage to the offender. And here's what Jesus is trying to say to us, is that forgiveness is the key. It's the key that unlocks the door. It's the key that helps us find release from bitterness, from resentment, from hatred. It's the key that helps us from being infected and poisoned in our soul. G. Ryan, that is heavy. I didn't come here this morning for that. Woo. Man, all God wants is us to experience a piece of heaven on earth. All God wants is he wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. He wants us to live and walk in freedom, not enslaved to the offense or the offender. I remember Beth and I, man, I love rental properties. I didn't retire from GM. I don't have a pension or, you know, my retirement or investments and the way that I save is to tie my money up in rental properties. Okay. And I don't say that lightly. I say that it's been a lot of work, a lot of years. And that's what, and I remember when Beth and I, we just got married. We started a church and we had time all within a couple year period. And then I went to this closing and I didn't listen to my wife. She said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And guess what? I did it. We went from 10 closings to 40 closings, and it was a huge sin, and I paid a huge price. And I'm just telling you, you men, listen to your wife. That's the message of the day, right? No, honestly, she told me that she didn't feel good about it. And I kept pressing forward in this, and I did. And it set us back. It set us back almost a decade. And we went from like 12 to 13 rentals to 40-some rentals in one closing. It was 32 rentals in one closing. And in doing that, you know, when someone would not make up a rent, we just sell another house, and there's this machine that we were working until 07, 08 came. And you guys know, as a realtor, in 08, 09, the crud hit the fan, right? And as it did, man, I couldn't keep up. It was like this treadmill that I couldn't get off of, man. It was bad. And I remember I had these rental properties, and they were somewhat sketchy, and I did everything I could to keep them up, maintain them, and help people. I was carting people to church. I was trying to, you know, be their drug counselor. I was trying to, you know, help them find recovery. I mean, I was doing everything I could. I quickly found out you can't be a pastor and landlord. You just can't do that, right? And so long story short, I remember paying the water bills on these things and not getting the rent. And I remember one day I was driving around, parked in front of this two family, got out, and they're not paid we paid the water bill, but they didn't pay the rent. And I walked around the back side, hot summer day like today, and I thought, oh my goodness, there was a sizable investment in the backyard. And in that sizable investment was this guy sitting in a lawn chair, the tenant, with two beers, and it was a brand new Walmart pool. And in the Walmart pool, it was filled with water, and there was a green hose coming off my spigot right into that pool. And man, they were having a grand old time, splashing and water coming out, and just that water was running. And man, I can only tell you how I felt. No. I like opened up a can of whoop, you know, whatever, you know, and I mean, it was not good. I was, you know, I mean, here we are trying to make things work. I remember one of them, the guy got mad at me, and I had done funerals, done weddings for this guy. I had done everything I could to help this guy. And he got mad at me and stripped all of the siding off of the house and went and repoed the siding. And still today, I mean, I have to work through that. My blood's starting to rise right now, right? You gotta see, I have to, Lord, forgive me. Our Father, right? You know, I mean, I'm telling you, this is just, and the struggle of all of that, I mean, it nearly bankrupted us as we worked through all of that we worked through. And I can tell you that here's the deal. I can choose to carry that, or I can choose to hang on to that. Here it is, 7 to 10 years later, right? Now, let me ask you, 7 to 10 years later, do you think the guy who stripped the siding off my house, or do you think the guy that was sitting in the pool, do you think that right now today, if they're still living, which I think they are, do you think that they are thinking of me right now? No. They're not thinking of me. So, you know, the energy that it takes to hold that grudge and carry that animosity, folks, I'm just telling you, that's not what Jesus wants for you. It's not what Jesus wants for me. In Matthew 5, 43 and 44, look, here's what we do. Right? This is, it says this, you have heard that it was said, this is Jesus, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Look, that's what you heard others say. That's what you've heard. And that's what you think God has said. But no, this is, he says, but I tell you, this is what I want you to know. This is how you experience the kingdom. This is how you get a piece of heaven, right? But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Thus Jesus cranks out this Jesus prayer. That's what I tell my kids. It's the Jesus prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts, right? Right? As we forgive those. So God is calling us. Here's what Groeschel says. Groeschel says, look, let me back up. Here's the thing. Some of us say, and I agree with you, I don't feel like praying, right? I don't feel like praying. I am not here this morning to minimize your offense or to scathe over your scars or to be light on how much hurt and pain you've carried for the last 30 to 40 years, okay? That's not what I'm here up here trying to do. What I'm here trying to do today is free you up from that to where you reach and experience what God wants you to reach and experience, and that is a way of life that is free. A way of life that brings healing. A way of life that is outside of bitterness and strife and angst. I don't feel like praying for them, right? I think Jesus understands that. I'm sure there's times Jesus was both flesh, he was both, human, and he was both divine. There was parts of Jesus that I'm sure on the cross, he didn't feel like praying for us. God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's what we know, though, and what I know, is that your prayer may or may not change others. My prayer may or may not change the guy in the pool or the guy who stripped my house. It may not change them. But here's what I know. That prayer always changes me. That prayer changes you. Groeschel says, praying is a God-honoring place to start. Then you choose to forgive. Praying is a God-honoring place to start. Then you can bring yourself to a place where you can forgive. What's the Greek word for forgive? The Greek word for forgive, as it's written in the scriptures, is to hurl away, to give it away, to throw it away, to take it, God, I don't want this anymore, man. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. God freely forgives us of our sins, folks, and the things that we've done wrong. God sheds his grace upon us and allows us. He gives us what we don't deserve so that we can experience what he wants us to have. Andy Stanley says, in the shadow of my hurt, forgiveness feels like a decision to reward my enemy. But in the shadow of the cross, forgiveness is merely a gift from one undeserving soul to another. I know I'm undeserving of God's gift and grace. Have you ever forgiven, have you ever offended someone and you knew it? You knew you offended them. And you either go to them or they've come to you and they've offered, forgiveness, or you've asked for forgiveness and they have given you forgiveness. How does that make you feel? I pray that we here at the shelter, that we are a people about forgiveness, a spirit of forgiveness. And you know what? You can forgive and agree to disagree. Forgiveness is not necessarily saying, okay, you know, everything that you thought was right and what I thought was wrong. That's not forgiveness, folks. Forgiveness is a spirit. There's a spirit there of agreement, right? Even if it's not holding that angst. How many here need to be forgiven? I know I do. Then forgive. How many homes would be healed if husbands and wives and fathers and sons, mothers and daughters would put arms around one another and forgive? How many marriages could be saved? How many friendships could find healing? How many of you could be free? God help us. Prison it is to carry the offense. God sets the captives free by way of forgiveness. That is the key. God is calling us, I believe, and God help this to be true. Help us, Lord, to be a place, a body, a church, a community, a family, made up of families that live and walk in a spirit of forgiveness. And may we, God, may people feel that. May we feel and experience that freedom. And may you help us get there. Let's all stand. As you stand, David Wills says this: holding a grudge doesn't make you strong, it makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak, it sets you free. Sets you free. I want you to be free. Will you be free with me? For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. God, help us. Forgiveness empowers you, strengthens you. God, I just pray right now that a spirit of forgiveness would just descend upon the hearts and lives of people here. God, I pray that your spirit of forgiveness would descend upon me. God, I pray that your forgiveness would come. A spirit of forgiveness would come. Lord, even though right now we don't feel like it, or we may not feel like, or we may be unwilling to forgive, Lord, at least, Father, bring everyone here to a place where they are willing to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Folks, take that prayer home with you today. I want you to pray that this week. Every morning you get up, every night you go to bed. I want you to pray that. I want you to pray that in your car. And I want you to pray it in the context of forgiveness. And I want God, I pray that as the prayer is prayed, that you will begin to open up the hearts of those that are praying it and help them to experience a deeper level of freedom. Help them to experience a deeper level of renewal. That you, Lord, would bring us to a place where we all are experiencing the freedom of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Love you guys.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.